Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. You can hear the show every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon Central, and there are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
He's a psychologist, an author, and a veteran broadcaster. But most importantly, he's a dad. Welcome to Dr. Bill Meyer Live on the Faith Radio Network. Stay tuned for a faith and culture connection, a biblical perspective on current events, and practical family advice with psychologist Dr. Bill Meyer. You can join the conversation by calling 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Now, let's join Bill Meyer live.
And welcome. It is so nice to have you with us on this weekend in the Upper Midwest. We appreciate you joining us here on the Faith Radio Network. Today, we're going to tackle a topic that I think has touched just about every one of us, and that is blended families. Even if you're not in a blended family yourself, chances are you have a friend or a work associate, somebody at your church who's in a step family. And we're going to be talking to the guy that I believe is probably the country's foremost expert on step families, at least from a Christian perspective, Ron Deal with Family Life. I've known Ron for a number of years, and he has an incredible book for every step family that they have to read. It's called The Smart Step Family, Steps to a Healthy Family. Ron is just a wealth of information. And again, if you're not in a step family, and I know a lot of our listeners are not, but if you know somebody who is, or maybe somebody who is considering remarriage and blending a family together, I'd encourage you to give them a call, because they are going to want to hear what Ron has to say over the next 50 minutes or so. And in fact, speaking of Ron's book, The Smart Step Family, if you call us sometime in the next 50 minutes and you give us your contact info, name, address, phone number, email, what we'll do is put you into a drawing. And at the end of the hour, we have three copies of Ron's book to give away. And we'd love to send you one. And I'd really like to limit the people that call to folks that are in step families or close to a step family. Maybe you're a grandma or grandpa, and you have adult children who have divorced and remarried and are now in the thick of it with stepkids and doing their best to navigate that. And there are so many challenges which we're going to unpack with Ron today. And even if you're not, again, in a step family, related to step family, let me encourage you to stick around. Here's why. I believe as Christians, we have a responsibility to reach out in love and care to those that are in step family situations. You know, we're called to care for widows and orphans. And if you think about it, for a lot of kids who are products of divorce and maybe one of their biological parents is no longer available to them, they're kind of like an orphan in a way. And a divorced mom is sort of like a widow. We didn't have divorce in the Old Testament. So we're called to love those people. And then when they enter into that new step family relationship, they're going to need our support. They're going to need our help, both individually and as families, and certainly in the church. And so I'd really challenge you to stick around for Ron's advice on this particular topic. School starts for a lot of folks real quick. And I'm wondering, are your kids looking forward to the first day of school, or could they be feeling just a little bit anxious about that? Along with going to bed earlier and doing homework, some kids are really stressing out about the new school year. Why? Because it means adjusting to change. And there are a lot of kids who love change, but for some, it can create fear and worry. And they might be asking questions, at least in their little minds, like, will I like my new teacher? What if the work is too hard for me? Who will I sit with at lunch? What if I don't make any new friends? Julie Slattery is a clinical psychologist and a mom and a friend of mine. And she says that those type of questions can keep kids up at night in the days leading up to the first day of school. And I don't care if your kid is 6 or 16. They could be feeling that kind of anxiety, especially if there's a transition, let's say, to a new school, or maybe they're moving from elementary school to middle school, or from middle school to high school, or maybe the first day of kindergarten. Man, that can be stressful for little 5-6-year-old kid. And Julie says that we can help our kids with new school year anxiety by validating their emotions. Encourage your kids to express their feelings about the school year starting. What you might do is ask them, maybe ask, what are you most excited about as the school year gets underway? And what are you most nervous about? And then if they express some worries or some fears, you explain, hey, it's normal to feel those kind of jitters just before school starts. I even felt them. You could share that your own experience from back when you were in school. Julie also says that we can help reduce the number of unknown factors leading up to the school year. For example, find out what you can about your child's new teacher or the new school they'll be attending, or what friends from the neighborhood or from church will be attending school with your child. If the school has an open house that they offer to meet the teachers, to organize lockers in middle school or high school, take advantage of that. Walk the halls with your kids. If you have kids who are in junior high school or high school, you know, going from elementary school to junior high is really challenging because you're going from basically one teacher in many cases to numerous teachers and numerous periods and numerous subjects. And you've got to move around from classroom to classroom. And that is a brand new experience for kids. And they're like, what in the heck? How do I do this? I need a day timer. I need a smartphone app just to figure out where I'm going next. So that going to that open house night and going to the different classrooms and figuring out the schedule and where you go when can be really helpful to take the anxiety, at least alleviate some of the anxiety from the first day of school. And then when school starts, Julie suggests that you provide your child with some practical, tangible displays of affection and of your confidence in them. For example, let's say you have a little kindergartner who's going off to school for the first time. How about getting him a little teddy bear to carry in his backpack? Kind of a reminder, hey, mom and dad love you. Mom and dad are praying for you. And for older kids, put some little notes of encouragement into their notebooks or their lunch sacks. There are some great back-to-school tips at Focus on the Family's website and also at Family Life's website. Both of them have some excellent articles on that topic. If you go to either one of those sites, just put back-to-school in their search engine, and they will pop up. Well, it's 12 minutes past 11. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Bill Meyer. Coming up next, my conversation with stepfamily expert Ron Deal. Again, if you know somebody who is in a stepfamily currently considering remarriage or really dealing with a lot of conflict with maybe their stepkids, encourage them to tune in for the next 45 minutes or so. We'll be right back after this quick break here on the Faith Radio Network.
It's Dr. Bill Meyer live on Faith Radio. Get ready to join the conversation. Now let's join Dr. Bill Meyer live.
And we'd love to have you join the conversation, and you can do that by calling us at 877-93-FAITH, 877-93-FAITH. And you may actually have some questions for our guest today, especially if you are part of a step family, either directly or in your extended family. There is remarriage. There are stepkids. I would encourage you to be bold and give us a call in the next 45 minutes or so, because Ron would love to answer your questions. Ron Deal is a marriage and family author. He is a speaker. He's a therapist. He is the founder of Smart Step Families. He's the director of Family Life Blended. And, man, Ron has written some great books. And I tell you, every time, I'm serious, every time I meet somebody who is either considering remarriage, where there's kids involved, or are part of a step family right now, I say, okay, here's the guy. Here's the dude. You've got to read his books. Let me just tell you about a few of them. There's The Smart Stepdad and Dating and the Single Parent. He's the co-author of The Smart Stepmom and The Remarriage Checkup. Ron has been on a variety of national media outlets, including Family Life Today, Focus on the Family, The 700 Club. His work has been cited by news outlets, including USA Today, the New York Daily News, the Chicago Tribune, ABCNews.com. Ron lives in Little Rock, Arkansas, where he works at Family Life with Dennis Rainey and all those great folks. And he joins us now to talk about the re-release of his book, The Smart Step Family. And Ron, welcome to Faith Radio.
Thanks, Bill. It's good to be back with you. It's always a pleasure to work with you. You're such a great interviewer, and you're so insightful.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Some days are better than others. A lot of times, as you know, you interview people, you know, a lot of times it depends on the guest. And I've had some winners, and I've had some not so, let's just say they've gone not as well. So
I understand. I really get that.
Now, before we dive into the book, I would love for our listeners to know a little bit about your personal journey, because you've done a variety of things. You worked in a church setting as a family therapist. You've been in private practice. You've started your own organization several years ago. And as I mentioned, several of your wonderful books. Now you're at Family Life. First of all, I'm guessing a lot of our listeners, and I'm sure a lot of people ask you this, they say, well, Ron, are you part of a step family yourself? I know you're not, but what got you so interested in working with step families?
Yeah, it's a good question. And by the way, for the Faith Radio Network listenership, I should mention that I'm a Midwesterner, born and raised in Des Moines, Iowa. And,
all right.
So whenever I get up to the Midwest, for whatever reason, I was in Chicago last weekend for an event that Family Life put on, an I Still Do event, where we had nearly 4,000 people for a marriage enrichment day. I just love being back in the Midwest. And as of now, I'm stuck in the South. I'm not sure what to do about that.
We'd love to have you come up and speak in one of our Faith Radio markets. Maybe we can get you up in the Twin Cities sometime in the next year. So
I would love that. I would love that. That would be great. I always enjoy getting up to the Twin Cities. Well, I didn't grow up in a step family. I have three siblings, and all of them are in first marriages. Nan and I have been married for 28 years. And so it's not my personal life. I like to jokingly tell people I'm the male obstetrician of the stepfamily world, okay? I've never delivered that baby, can't carry that child, but I do know something about the process. And honestly, I know where my strengths are. My strengths are like a male obstetrician, understanding the process of pregnancy, delivery, childbirth, the early months following mother and child. But it's other people's stories that have really compelled me to understand and try to get inside what it is to live inside the stepfamily experience. And I will tell you this, it took me a long time to really get it. You know, as a marriage and family therapist, I had some clinical training that taught me how to work with people in circumstances that I've never experienced. And obviously every doctor, every counselor does that day in and day out. But I really started at one point listening to people. I was working within churches. I was in a family ministry role in Missouri, California, Texas, then Arkansas. And I was just trying to figure out how to equip couples for life, whether they be married, first marriage, second marriage, or, you know, young, old, singles. We worked with a single parent ministry. And so we were just trying to make a difference in the lives of people, no matter what kind of family type they lived in. It was the couples and step families that kept drawing me back, that kept teaching me what it was to struggle with some things, that their experience was different than it is in a first marriage situation. And I just didn't get it for a really long time. And I started listening, and I started studying, and I started doing some postgraduate work with experts in the field. And over the last 21 years now of working with stepfamilies in a very specific way, I think we've come to really understand some of the things that make a difference for families, what really helps, and the mistakes, the common mistakes that can be avoided by step families.
And unfortunately, there are a lot of mistakes that are made. One of the mistakes is thinking that you can instantly blend a family. And I know for years you kind of balked at the term blended families because it inferred that, hey, you know, you just get a new husband, new wife, new kid situation, and you stick them all together, and it works out really nicely. It blends, but it doesn't, does it?
Yeah, and you know, it's a great question. And by the way, yeah, I've been converted. I now use the term blended family. In fact, the ministry that I'm leading now at Family Life is called Family Life Blended. And I'll tell you why we adopted that term, how it is that I came to be converted. It's because that's the most popular term in the United States anyway for the stepfamily experience, blended family. Now, I know that term means different things in different parts of the country, but by and large, that's the term that most people use. I should mention it's very different in the UK and in Australia and New Zealand. They use the term step family clearly far more than they use the term blended family. So it depends on what part of the world you're from. And by the way, that adds to the confusion, right? I mean, what is it? What kind of family is it? What do you call it? Do people even understand what they're living in, let alone what to call it? And I think that is kind of a bit of a metaphor, that the stepfamily experience is one that's not well-defined. And when people come together, when a man and woman fall in love, I mean, think about what's happening. They're falling in love with a person, and along with that love relationship is coming a dream. And the dream is we're gonna create something that we've lost. Now, we could have lost it because I was married and my spouse died. And I've been widowed, I've been a single parent, and now I've fallen in love with another person, and so we're going to kind of reconstruct that which was lost. Maybe I've been through a divorce, and I want to have a better marriage this time. I don't want to recreate divorce. I do want to create the family for my kids, a healthy environment. And so there's this dream that develops alongside that love relationship. And when a couple then seals that marriage at a wedding and form a covenant, lifelong covenant before God and everybody else, they are in effect defining their relationship as a marital covenant relationship. But what they don't quite realize is that for everybody else in the room, their children, grandparents, cousins, uncles, aunts, and perhaps even ex-spouses, they've posed a new dilemma to all those other people. And the dilemma that they've created for those folks is, how now will you all be family together? Because there's some people on one side of the aisle who go, okay, that's my dad. I got a relationship with him. We are blended, if you want to put it that way, because we're blood bond blended, right? But now I have a stepmom and step siblings, and I don't even know where to begin to relate to them. I mean, I like my stepmom. She's nice. She's sweet. She's good to my dad. She's good to me. I like that. But my mom's over there, and I really love my mom because I'm blended with her. So you can begin to see the dilemmas that are created for the individual family members. The couple knows who they are. Their identity is secure in a covenant relationship. Everybody else is trying to figure it out. And how you then figure it out is really the process of becoming family. And for years the term blended didn't sit well for me because I just knew it created really high expectations. The couple, their hope, their dream is that everybody will blend, that everybody will come together and form a family and love each other the way family should. But when that doesn't happen, or when kids are like, yeah, but, then the adults get angry with the kids. The adults get frustrated with the extended family. The adults then look at themselves, and Bill, listen to this. When the couple comes together in love and forms a covenant, and then because other people don't blend the way they want them to, the couple then looks at each other and says, maybe we shouldn't have done this. Now, that is a backup on their covenant. Now they're looking backward instead of forward. Now the relationship, the marriage, is beginning to ever so gently unwind. And that is never good for anybody, right? And so this idea that we can blend today, quick, fast, just set people up for a lot of discouragement and disillusionment. And so I really wanted to teach them, hey, don't think that way. You can come together. It's just going to happen far more differently than you think, far more slowly than you think. So just relax a little bit. It's going to be okay. Don't get so disillusioned that you give up.
I remember several years ago when you first started your organization and first wrote The Smart Step Family, we talked a lot about the crock pot and how really for a step family to blend and really work, rather than trying to kind of force it all together in a pressure cooker or put it into a blender, you have to have a crock pot vision for your step family. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah. And by the way, I'm just really enjoying this conversation today because you were the first person to give me a chance to do a national radio interview when you were with Focus on the Family. And we did an interview around this book, The Smart Step Family. It first came out in 2002, and now the revised expanded edition has come out this year. And so to me, it's just really fun kind of talking with you again, because little did you and I know back in 2002 or whenever that interview took place, that this book would kind of stay on the Amazon number one bestsellers list in its category, that it would have a life that extended beyond itself. I had no idea that this whole crockpot idea would really, really take off and people would wrap themselves around it. I can't tell you how many people walk up to me in an event or conference and write to me in an email or something and just say, you know, that whole crockpot thing saved us because we were forcing people to love each other and the kids just wouldn't have it. Okay, let me give you a story. One stepdad was telling me about, he said, when I got married, my wife has kids, I had kids. So I'm a stepdad, she's a stepmom to mine. And when my kids would come over from being at their mom's house, they would walk into my house, my new house, my new wife, new stepkids, and they would shake the hands of my wife and my stepsibling. And they would then go to their room and retreat and wouldn't come out for hours. And my wife and I would just look at each other and say, we have got to get these kids out of their rooms. We've got to get these kids talking to one another. We've got to get them playing games. We've got to get them doing stuff. Otherwise, we're never going to have a family. Now, listen to that blender mentality, right? If we don't make it happen, we're stuck. I know we got to go to a break. What I want to tell you after the break is what he learned about the crockpot and how it made a difference for their family.
And I look forward to that story. Again, we're talking to Ron Deal. He is a marriage and family author, speaker, and therapist. He's the founder of Smart Step Families and the director of Family Life Blended at Family Life Ministries. And again, if you know somebody in a step family, now's the time to call them and tell them to tune in for the next 30 minutes or so. In fact, if you are in a step family yourself and have a question for Ron, we would love to hear that question. And you can call us at 877-93-FAITH. And our producer, Paul, will pass along that question to us here. Take a quick break and be back with more with Ron Deal, the author of The Smart Step Family, here on the Faith Radio Network.
The conversation continues right now, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Now, here's Dr. Bill Meyer again on Faith Radio.
And welcome back. It's so great to have you on this Saturday, whether you are listening to us on Faith 900 here in the Twin Cities. Perhaps you're tuning in Sioux Falls, South Dakota on Faith 1270, Madison, Wisconsin on Faith 1190. Maybe you're one of our great friends listening in Fargo-Moorhead on Faith 1200, or in Waterloo, Iowa on Faith 1090. Or maybe you are listening on the shores of beautiful Lake Superior in Duluth on Faith 90.5. I have such love for Duluth. I know you have tough winters in Duluth. I know about the snow tunnels, but you've got to admit, the summers and the falls are great. So thank you for tuning in on Faith 90.5. My name is Bill Meyer, and my guest is Ron Deal. He is with Family Life. And here's what Dennis Rainey, the president of Family Life, says about Ron's book, The Smart Step Family. Listen to this. The Smart Step Family is the best book available for step families that I have seen. That's quite an endorsement there, Ron.
Yeah, it is. I'm very pleased by that and others that have encouraged this book. And that it seems to be making a difference. It really does.
Well, that's what's most important, and it's made a difference. I know I've recommended it, as I've said, probably to hundreds of people over the years when they are struggling or when they are just thinking about remarriage. I said, this is the book you got to get. Mm-hmm. In fact, I know somebody right now, and it's a less complicated situation because he is dating a widow. Tragically, her husband passed away of cancer a few years ago, and she has a young son, and they have entered into a dating relationship, and it seems to be going very well. And he continues to ask me, okay, well, what should I watch for? And are there things I should know? And how close should I get to her son? And so one of the things we've talked about is that situation is far less complicated. He is a bachelor, never been married. She does not have an ex in her life or in the boy's life. In fact, the boy really never knew his dad because he was so young when his father passed away. That is very different from many situations, which we're going to dive into in a second. But first, I want to let you finish your crockpot story. We mentioned how the word blended for years kind of rubbed you the wrong way. You're using it now and using it at Family Life because it is in the vernacular of our culture. People typically say blended families, I think, because maybe there's sort of this feeling there's a stigma about using the word step. Many countries, as you said, certainly United Kingdom, Australia, other places, the word step family is used pretty predominantly. Here, though, blended family is the term. So many people think that a family should be able to blend. It's my job to blend it, and we'll blend it, doggone it, in 2 weeks, and everything will be great. It doesn't happen that way. And so Ron came up with this crockpot analogy a few years ago. And you, before the break, you were talking about this gentleman that was discussing that analogy with you. Why don't you go ahead and finish that story?
Yeah, he thought we've got to blend this family, right? So we got to force the relationships together, just like if you put ingredients in a blender, you're going to shove them together, and that's kind of how they're going to blend. But unfortunately, all that tended to do is he's trying to get his kids out of their bedroom to blend with his new wife and their step siblings. It gets resistance. I mean, people just kind of feel like, hey, you can't make me do that. You can't make me feel a certain way. And really, that's what it comes down to. And so the wise step family couple try to crock pot instead, which means when you put ingredients into a crock pot, it's going to take hours for that to cook, 6 or 7, 8 hours, depending on what you're cooking in a crock pot. Well, we know step families need 6 or 8 years to 7 years sometimes to really kind of bring the ingredients together. And they soften on their own time. You can't force it. And when they begin to share of themselves, it's very genuine and authentic at that point. And so this man realized that. He steps back. He says, you know what, I'm going to relax about this. When my kids, they come over from their mom's house, I'm going to let them go to their room and kind of hang out for a while. And then he said, we began to notice that they would come out of their room eventually, just not as soon as we wanted them. And they did begin to just slowly and over time just begin to kind of connect with the other people in the house. But they all did it on their own time frame. One would be quick and one would be slow. And some would, you know, rush into hugging and kind of really get in a bond there. And others were standoffish and each in its own way. And that's the wisdom of the crock pot, is when you relax and let it happen. Now, you're going to be intentional to try to do some things, create an environment where it's easier for those ingredients to soften and connect. You can do that. That's part of what we talk about in the Smart Step Family. But all in all, love is something they've got to get to on their own. And you just create trouble when you try to make it happen on your time. You foster connection and love when you allow it to happen on their own time. And that's the wisdom. And so this guy ended the conversation by saying, we were in a blender and now we're in a simmering crock pot of love.
Oh.
That's just great. That's exactly what you're going to go for and what you're hoping for, a simmering crock pot of love. We're not fully cooked yet, but we're not done cooking. That's the good news. There's the hope.
One of the things you've said in the past, too, is that when you enter into a step-family situation, the honeymoon really comes later, much later. You expect this honeymoon relationship like you may have had in your first marriage, that everything's going to be hearts and butterflies, and then all of a sudden reality hits, and you've got angry kids, and you've got step-siblings who are fighting, and kids saying, you're not my real mom, I don't have to do what you say. Explain why you really have to look down the road to the honeymoon, Ron.
Yeah, it's the crock pot in action. You know, the good, if you throw something in a crock pot and 20 minutes later come back and start eating it, you're probably in trouble. You're going to the hospital because the meat's not done. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't taste good. Well, that's kind of the way it can be. You can have a good marriage, but the whole family experience may not be what you hope for immediately, but give it time. And then it tastes really, really good. And so that's where the honeymoon or the family moon, if you want to call it that, really comes into play, is somewhere towards the end of the cooking journey rather than at the beginning. I just, and here's why this is important, Bill, because if it takes the average step family 6, 7 years to really cook, half of all couples who will divorce in a step family do so by year 3. In other words, they just got tired of eating stuff that wasn't fully cooked and they just give up. And you cannot give up. You've got to just press through those difficult, stressful times and make it to the other side, and then you find the reward. And let me just balance this conversation, because not all step families have a difficult time. There's not every situation has a kid saying, you're not my mom, I don't have to do what you say. But there's awkwardness. There's, I feel really comfortable with my kids, and we're bonded and connected, and I love them, and they love me, and they give me grace when I mess up. But my stepchildren just look at me funny, and it's just awkward. It doesn't mean it's horrible. It just means that it's not family, right? It's not comfortable. And that's what we're talking about. That just takes time.
Mm. Well, this book, we mentioned again that this probably is the premier book for stepfamilies, certainly from a Christian perspective. I think it's the best thing out there. It's been number one on Amazon's bestseller list for that particular category for a long, long time. And it is a book that you need if you are about to remarry, if you're about to enter a stepfamily, if you're in a stepfamily right now and maybe things are going well, but they can go better. Or maybe things are not going so good. You are really stressing, and there's lots of arguments and conflict. Ron's book will help you. And I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Ron, that a lot of our listeners may say, well, I'm not in a step family. I've been married to the same person for 50 years, and this doesn't really impact me. I want you to, if we could just briefly, before we get into some of the practical aspects of the book, I think it's important for our listeners to know the how far-reaching the whole stepfamily situation is, even just in the United States, and how many of us are in some way, shape, or form related to somebody who is part of a stepfamily.
You just said it. I mean, everybody listening to this conversation right now knows somebody in a stepfamily. It may not be you. It may be a brother, a sister, but somebody you know, a neighbor, somebody at church. You know, 100 million Americans have a step relationship of some kind, either a step parent, a step sibling, or a step child. 100 million. That's 1/3 of the U.S.
Amazing.
And our best estimate now is 40% of families, that is households with children, and those children could be 25, those children could be 15 or 2 years old. 40% of families in the U.S. are step families.
That's
stunning. Because they're here, 40%. That's unbelievable. And by the way, everybody listening here probably goes to church somewhere. And so your church needs to think about a stepfamily ministry. You may have a marriage ministry that could just extend what it's already doing and begin to speak to the helping step couples strengthen their relationship and helping their families really come together over time. The Smart Step Family book, we now have a DVD series for small groups and individual couple use that is being used in churches around the country. We now have a map at familylife.com that allows churches to upload that they're doing a class or a seminar or a weekend or whatever it is, and using that curriculum, and people can find that event in their area and go and attend that. We're doing everything we can at Family Life to connect churches and couples, because the uniquenesses of the stepfamily experience cause a lot of stress and cause that divorce rate to go really so much higher than in first marriages. And we're just trying to prevent that. We're trying to create environments for children where they can be loved and come to understand a knowledge of the Lord and see that lived out in their home. And so it may not be your life, but somebody you know is connected. And so you can be the conduit to help them find a resource, get connected to a church, or encourage your church to begin to really reach out to blended families.
Now, Ron, I know that we have some listeners right now who are thinking to themselves, well, they're just encouraging divorce.
Mm.
I mean, God says that he hates divorce, and there are different theological views of divorce, certainly, and there are some churches that frankly don't believe their divorce should be allowed under any circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk to somebody who maybe has a more conservative theological position on divorce, and they're saying, Ron, come on. I mean, what you're doing, you're encouraging people to dump their spouse and marry somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
How do you respond to them?
Well, I think the church can be pro-hospital without being pro-illness.
Mm.
You know, and really we do this all the time. You know, we might have a post-abortion ministry, but we're not encouraging abortions. You know, we celebrate recovery in churches all over this country on a regular basis. I don't think anybody's trying to celebrate addiction. We're not blessing the decisions that maybe brought people to where they are in life. What we're saying is there's redemption and hope and grace for your story, and from this day forward, we're going to help you walk with the Lord as best you can. In other words, stay in the covenant you're in. To anybody who, let me tell you, one of the best divorce prevention programs for couples in first marriages is for them to understand the challenges of stepfamilies. Mm-hmm. If people understood what they were writing for themselves, the script they were writing for themselves by divorcing a first spouse and thinking that they can find another one and life will be much better, you would back up on that, all right? I mean, the more you know, the more you understand, stay in the marriage you're in and work as hard as you can at that as best you can. And I'm not talking about really extreme circumstances where somebody's getting beat up day and night. I'm not talking about that, but I'm saying, you know, stay and try to make that marriage work. That's God's hope and desire and will for you. If you find yourself today listening to us and you're in a blended family, we want that family to work. You have a covenant and we're going to help you honor it.
Okay, let's dive into some of the practicals of the book. And we've got a break coming up here in just about 2 minutes. But first, I want to ask you about the best way to deal with exes. You quote an African proverb, which, and I think I've got it right. It's when two elephants are fighting, it's the grass that gets trampled.
Yeah.
Explain what that means as it applies to divorce and children.
Yeah, when elephants are going at it, they're not paying attention to the grass, right? And when ex-spouses are going at it, when they're fighting, when they're, you know, they're living on in an ongoing basis, the battles they had in their marriage are continuing after their divorce. And how ironic is that, right? I mean, you know that, Bill. And kids are the ones who get caught in the crossfire. And it, at some level, I just, you know, you have to say to yourself as an ex-spouse or as a co-parent, I've got to let my personal issues go. So when I'm dealing with my ex-spouse, I'm dealing with them as it relates to our children. And that's my only focus, because we've got to try to create an environment where they're not caught in the crossfire. And honestly, that just is really challenging for a number of people. But if you can manage it, it is a huge blessing to your kids. Huge blessing. Helps them move through, helps them recover in some ways, helps them find Jesus in the midst of all of that. I mean, how do they respect your values and adopt your beliefs if all they see you doing is living out anger, right? That hurts your testimony to your own children. So learning how to do that is a challenge. And so there's a whole section, a whole chapter in this book on helping ex-spouses set those personal issues aside and try to be good co-parents, because it is so important.
Mm. And then let me add, and you know this from the research, Ron, that bitterness and resentment is only going to hurt you in the long run. And we're going to see, I mean, we know of all the health impacts of a person who holds on to resentment, and they're not pretty. And so if you can't let go, man, get some help, get some counseling, join a group, because that is something that's going to eat you up. It's going to hurt your kids. And ultimately, it's, as you said, going to hurt your relationship with God. Our guest is Ron Deal. He's the author of The Smart Step Family and is with Family Life Today. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more of Ron's practical advice after this on the Faith Radio Network.
Now back to Dr. Bill Meyer live on Faith Radio.
And welcome back. It is so great to have you with us on the Faith Radio Network. If you have never tuned in Monday through Friday for some of our great programming, let me encourage you, because we have the best Bible teachers in the world on this network, and you'll be edified, you'll be challenged, you'll become a better apologist, you'll just get better at Christian worldview, you will draw closer to God. I know I'm making a lot of promises, but it's true. I mean, the teachers and preachers that we have on this network Monday through Friday, if you start to make Faith Radio a regular part of your week, whether you are listening at home, in the car, maybe you can listen on your computer at work, don't let it interfere with your job, but you will find that your faith will come alive in brand new ways. Plus, our live programs, Neil Stavem's Connecting Faith every day at 12 noon, and then Susie Larson's program, Live the Promise, 3 to 5 p.m. in the afternoon. Man, oh, man, we've just got some great shows, and I'm going to brag on my Monday through Friday coworkers here. I just get to do one day here on Saturday, but I love them so much, and you've got to join them. You can get the entire schedule at myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. Just click on weekdays or weekends. My guest is Ron Deal. He is with Family Life in Little Rock, Arkansas. He's also the author of The Smart stepfamily. And I realized, Ron, I go, oh my gosh, it's 11:50. We've just barely scratched the surface. What I know you have a very busy schedule, but I'm going to ask you if you'd consider maybe sometime in the next 6 months, joining us again to not only talk about the book, but also talk about what family life is doing to minister to stepfamilies across the country. And maybe you can't commit to that because I know you are, as I said, a very busy guy. But if you can find a Saturday opening in your schedule, we would love to have you on again. And I'd love to have you come up to the Twin Cities and speak. And in fact, if you are in church leadership somewhere in the Twin Cities, maybe your church or a group of churches could invite Ron to come up and do one of his seminars. Because you have a variety of different things you offer to churches. Mm-hmm. So it'd be great to have you on again if you can commit the time. But we thank you for carving out part of your Saturday today.
Well, I appreciate it. And, yes, I would love to come back and be on the broadcast again. I will mention real quickly that one of the things we're doing here at Family Life Blended is we have a national summit on stepfamily ministry that we're hosting in Washington, D.C., coming up early in October, October 2 and 3. It's a Thursday, Friday, and then our I Still Do marriage enrichment event in Washington, D.C. down at the Verizon Center will be on Saturday the 4th. So it's quite a weekend getaway for couples. It'd be worth flying over to Washington, D.C. and learning more about stepfamilies and stepfamily ministry. And empowering the local church is what that summit is really all about.
Wonderful. That is just fantastic. October 2nd and 3rd, I'm sure you can find out more about it. Is there a special web page for Family Life Blended, or do you just go to familylife.com and then go from there?
Familylife.com, and then click on My Blended Family, and you'll find everything you wanted to find.
All right. We've only got about 6 minutes left, Ron. I know we've just barely gotten into the book. Let's talk about step-parenting for a second, because that is probably one of the stickiest issues when it comes to making a stepfamily work. How can a stepmom or stepdad who is all of a sudden introduced into this new family situation do it right? Well, first of all, let's talk about what many parents do wrong, and then let's talk about how they can do it right.
Well, let's start by defining positional authority and relational authority, because I think those two concepts kind of center the conversation. On day one, as a stepparent, you have a little bit of authority. We call that positional authority. It's what a teacher has in the school classroom. It's what a police officer has that allows them to pull you over, and you pull over, right? Not because you're in love with the police officer, but because, but because he's got some authority in this life, and you respect that. And so you respect the position. Well, a step-parent is an adult. They're in the house. They're now married to the biological parent. And just by nature of that relationship, you have a little bit of authority. The kids may not obey you because they love you. That's going to come on its own time, but they'll obey you because of your position. I think the challenge for step-parents is understanding that and respecting the limits of that role, right? If a police officer expects you to give them a hug as they're writing you a ticket, well, that just doesn't make any sense, does it? You know, we just understand that's not included in that authority. And so when a step-parent honors the limits of their role, works within what they can do, then works through the biological parent who has a whole lot of relational authority with their own children, then the step-parent is moving in the right direction, allowing time in the crockpot to begin to form a bond and a relationship. And over time in the crockpot, then you gain relational authority. Now when you say, please pick up your socks, the children obey you because they actually like you, because there's a connection there, because there's some respect that goes deeper than just what's on the surface. You get into trouble when either the biological parent or the step-parent expects the step-parent to just be a full-fledged parent right in the beginning. That's where people just get off on the wrong. And what happens is the kids go, wait a minute, you are not my dad. You know, you can't push yourself into my life like that. And it just fosters resistance, and that brings conflict, and then people get upset. And let me play this out, Bill, because this is really important. What happens, it starts between perhaps that stepchild and stepdad, and the tension's there. And then when mom enters the picture, she is tempted to kind of defend her son, to say, you know what, To her husband, you know, maybe you shouldn't ask him to do it, to do that, or to do it in that way, or maybe you could back off a half step. And then he feels like she's turned on him. And now what started out as a parenting issue has become a marital issue. You see how quickly that happened.
And that can escalate, and it can lead to the staggering divorce rate that we see among remarried people and stepfamilies, and it is so sad. And, you know, one of the things I've seen, I know you've seen this as well, oftentimes, and I'm going to paint a broad brush here, but a lot of times what you'll see with single moms who maybe they've been divorced for some time, maybe the biological dad's not even in the picture, and they've got a couple of kids, and it's been pretty much them all along. It's been the mom and the kids, and she has a relationship with them that oftentimes is more than just a mother-child relationship. It has started to move and kind of morph, especially as time goes on, into more of a peer-to-peer relationship.
Yeah.
We have a term called parentified child, where the mom may actually turn to her 8-year-old child for emotional support when she's having a tough time at work or in a dating relationship. And then how likely is it for that single mom to be an effective disciplinarian, to set limits and boundaries, when now your 8-year-old daughter is also your best friend?
Right.
Now you meet Mr. Wonderful, who's going to change everything, and he comes into your life, and all of a sudden he's telling your 8-year-old daughter what to do, and she says, "You're not my dad. You can't make me do that." And you tend to, like a mother hen, you just gather those little kids under you, and you turn to your new husband and you say, "Stop treating my kids that way."
Yeah, you've nailed it. And everybody listening can relate to this, because this works in other relationships too. Have you ever heard somebody say, have you ever felt like, "I can talk bad about my mom, but you cannot talk bad about my mom"? You know how we do that? We get defensive of people that we love. So the same thing happens in the parent, stepchild, and little triangle, is when that step-parent says something about the child, the biological parent may be saying the very same things, but because it's coming out of your mouth, I'm going to defend my kid, right? And so now I'm siding with them against you in our marriage. And that is a very self-defeating process, but it's a very common trap for step-families to get caught in. And so that's one of the things we do, is try to teach them how the parent and step-parent can work together and avoid that trap. It's very, very important that they do that.
All right. I know we've run out of time, and again, we've just barely just scratched the surface of this wonderful book, but all of the answers to many of the questions that we've raised and the how-to, the practical how-to steps, are in this book, The Smart Step Family by Ron Deal. The book has just been repackaged, re-released. There's a new edition of it, and it's wonderful. There's a foreword by Gary Chapman, the love language guy in there. Ron, thank you so much for your time. We're going to hold you to it and have you on again in the next 6 months, and in the meantime, go to myfamilylife.com, learn more about Ron's ministry to step families. May God continue to guide you and direct you, Ron, and thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Bill. It's always an honor to be with you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.